Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio the citizen lobbyist.
Whoa. Mike, how are you?
I'm recovering? I'm recovering. I'm still trying to figure out what it all means. And the it in this case is the results of the municipal elections in the state of Alaska. We're going to, I think, talk mostly about Palmer, but there are a couple of interesting things that have happened statewide and other places, too, that might affect in a ripple way what's happening here in Palmer. But for those listeners who have still been searching to find the answers to what happened on election night on Tuesday, October 3rd, we can summarize by saying that here in Palmer, there were four candidates. There are two seats open. It looks as if one of the incumbents, Brad Hansen, is going to retain his seat. He's got about 40-some-odd vote lead over the next highest vote. But the next highest vote isn't the other incumbent. In fact, Linda Combs, the second incumbent, is fourth in the balloting right now and looks to be about as far behind the two that are going head-to-head as Brad is ahead of the rest of them. So
one was tight.
Yeah, so it looks like right now it's all coming down to Friday, the canvas board, 94 votes. And just a reminder to listeners that if you vote early, if you vote a question ballot, if you mail in, if you do any of those things other than walk in and vote on the day, all of that gets collected and gone over and then added to the total on a canvas day, which is typically Friday.
Right. So, yeah, let's talk about Palmer first, Mike. I guess the first thing is, where was everybody? A huge, very sad percentage of some 4,000 registered voters showed up, or 5,000. I think there's nearly 5,000 now. I think like maybe 12%, 11.5%.
13%.
I mean, just not good at all. So that said, it also is not completely hard to rationalize when there's nothing else on the ballot except for council seats, nothing of, nothing to sort of polarize people to get them to the polls, and there was no borough ballot. But having said that, that's just not good at all. But yeah, it's a very tight one. We won't know until 2 p.m. on Friday. There's no, doesn't look to me from just looking at this unofficial report that there's any question ballots, and sometimes the borough, usually about half of those get thrown out, so those probably won't come in to question. But there are those 94 ballots, and it could really swing either way for the candidates under Hansen. And, really, miracles of miracles, it actually could change even the top candidate for those 94 if they went one way or the other.
Right.
Unlikely. More likely it's going to make a difference on the other two. But I want to start by saying I want to publicly thank Linda Combs for her service on the council. She was pretty tireless in her work. I don't think her work's going to change that much because she's pretty much part of this community, and I expect her to continue on. She did not, wasn't able to retain her seat. But you know what? That's not a bad thing. Sometimes you get to step back, take a deep breath, and there's always, another year. So, but I do want to thank her for her service. And I think we should all be doing that when we see her. And up until then, we wait until Saturday or Friday at 2, and we'll know who's going to be sitting in those seats for three
years. Right. And then it'll be Monday, the 9th of October. There'll be a special meeting at the Palmer City Council Chambers, and they will certify whatever results come up.
Right.
And then move right on into seating people for the regular meeting the following day, October 10th.
Right. So also the city of Wasilla had their election too. They had, that one, there wasn't very much on that ballot at all. They didn't have a great turnout either.
Except the mayor, they had a mayoral race that Bert Cottle handily won.
Right.
And they had seats on the council, and they had a tax.
They did, but still, they had under 13% right. of the people turn out. So right. that's the point I was making. Yeah, the mayor handily, Bert Cottle handily, took his seat, got another term in his seat. I think it's pretty well known Mr. Cottle's pretty well liked. But good for other people that challenge that, because that's the way our election democracy works. They also had a proposition to increase their sales tax, specifically for improvements to the Wasilla Police Department. Crime is always a big conversation in the Wasilla area, and that was approved. So
right, right.
By a pretty good margin, 58.2% to 41.8%. So, and that's not the way it always works in Wasilla. There was a ballot measure, I think last year, wasn't there, Mike, about funding for the library, ongoing library.
I would have to go back into the archives.
Yeah, I think there was something on there. They don't always say yes to sales tax, just so you know. And in all fairness, a lot of the people that shop in Wasilla pay that sales tax for them, so it's kind of a win-win. So that one also, and I didn't really even look at the city of Houston. Did you look at that one very close, Mike?
No.
Okay. Well,
so if you're looking there, I'll bounce on up to Talkeetna.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. That's part of the borough one.
Talkeetna is not an organized city, but it sits in the borough, and it does have a long-standing issue associated with the utilities, wastewater treatment. And one part of Talkeetna got to vote on this. The total votes came up to be just about 100, and it looks right now as if Talkeetna is saying yes to that by about 10 votes. There are a few more votes that have to be canvassed and taken care of. It's likely that that will hold, although, as we have pointed out in other elections, things can change a bit. And Houston?
Oh, City of Houston. Okay, so there were two ballot issues on that. The council seat A, which is their mayor. They're like the city of Palmer. There is a mayor, but they also are a voting part of the council. And Virgie Thompson handily took that race, 95.3% of the votes. So she took that one for
well, except
easily.
For one thing. Although she's the mayor and she ran, she only gets to be on the council right. because the council in Houston, strangely enough, gets to decide who's
who
going
the mayor
to be.
Is.
The mayor
oh, that's right.
Be.
Oh, I've forgotten. That's right. So they have, is that, that's determined at their first council
right,
meeting?
Right, right. They figured
okay,
that out.
Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. Another council seat was unchallenged. F.J. Kruger was reelected. So we'll see how that goes. So nothing much change there. And they had 7.4% of their voters showed up.
Okay.
Another one. So let's go into what everybody's probably waiting for at this point, and that's the Matsu Borough. You've probably been talking about that a lot today, huh, Mike?
People have been asking, and I'll do the easy one.
Good.
The school board. No change.
No change, but
Kelsey
let's talk
Trimmer.
About the school board
yeah.
for
Kelsey,
a second.
Okay. Kelsey
yeah.
Trimmer turned back a challenger.
So we should remind voters that up to this last election and this one, all school board seats were at large, meant that we ran all over the borough, not for a specific district. And that was changed. The voters changed that by a voter initiative a couple of years ago to now have it match up, the districts match up with assembly districts. And I've heard a lot of feedback that people were really unhappy that they weren't able to vote on anything because they didn't end up in one of those assembly districts. Just some feedback. That's
yep.
what I'm getting feedback
right.
from. So
right.
that's the genesis of that. If you didn't have an assembly person on your ballot and you're wondering how come you didn't get to vote for Mr. Trimmer, that's why.
Yep.
So that's clarified.
Okay.
So school board was easy. The other one was assembly, two assembly seats.
And
one the city of Wasilla.
That's more complicated because what we have is one person running who still has potentially one more term. That's Dan Mayfield out of the Big Lake area. And the other seat that was emptied as Mr. Culligan terms out.
Right.
And the easy one, Ted Leonard, turned back a challenge by Patricia Hogan. And doesn't have to wait until Friday to figure out whether he'll win. His lead was big enough,
mm-hmm.
just about 2-1, I think.
Right, right.
But you can handle the other one.
So the other one is in Big Lake. Two very well-known people, actually. Dan Mayfield, who is the present assembly member, was president of the community council, been pretty engaged in the community for quite a while, ran against Moki Clayton Tews, who owns the People Mover and some road service equipment and has his ins and outs with the borough. But at the end of the day, they are also hanging out. They're very close. At this point, it's 608 votes for Mr. Tews and 588 votes for Mr. Mayfield. And there's quite a few ballots still out there, a couple hundred, including some question ballots. And normally on question ballots, about half of those get thrown out anyway. So we'll see how those go. But you're going to I'm reminded that at this time last year, or not last year, maybe a year before, when Mr. Kowalki ran in District 7, when all the votes were counted, he was about 70 votes behind.
Right.
And when they counted all the absentees that you referred to earlier, Mike, he was the victor, very close margins, but it completely changed around. So that one still could be different.
Because there's only a 20-vote change right now, and that's...
That can be made up pretty quickly. So at the end of the day, we'll find out how well each candidate did on getting the absentee vote out and if that changes things there or not. But they no real word on when that will be. They have a little longer canvassing program than the city do. They have more ballots count.
Right.
Admittedly, they don't have as many as they've had in the past. So we could hear this week, but I'm thinking maybe we won't hear.
It might be longer for that.
Might be Monday on that one, but we'll see. And I'm sure everybody's going to be watching carefully how that's done.
So I alluded when we began to other races, other ballot propositions around the state. And the three places that I think will have a ripple effect coming on down here, both to the borough and perhaps to the city of Palmer, are the two in the Fairbanks area. There were both the borough and the city up there. Had propositions that would have, if passed, eliminated cannabis in all its forms of retail, wholesale, laboratories, and so on.
Kenai, too, right?
And,
or was it a little
then,
different?
And then down in Kenai, mm-hmm. same thing. Mm-hmm. They were not passed. They
by pretty
failed,
large margins.
They failed with 70% in two cases and 65% in the other. And the reason why I think it's a ripple effect is because the suggestion seems to be that in these areas, which are not known for being liberal bastions necessarily, if you get that kind of response, and basically what seems to emerge from that is a support for entrepreneurial activities and support for this legalized product, then the rest of the state may have... look at that and say, well, as the borough has done, the borough made an attempt here in Matsu to say no locally, and that also failed. So I'm beginning to think that some of the cities, for example, city of Palmer, city of Wasilla, which had said no to any involvement whatsoever, may be moving on towards some reconsideration in the relatively near future.
Well, two thoughts on that, Mike. Number one, the pro-marijuana people are very well organized. They've spent a lot of money trying to get this new business developed in the state. Millions and millions of dollars have been. There are a lot of interests, outside interests that are looking, and just along with regular people that really have dug deep to get this going and believe in it and want to see this go through. So they have been very organized. So I think that just speaks to their organization a lot with that. The other thing is, it's sort of a perfect time for them because the money's starting to flow in from the taxes. You're seeing every month now a little bit more that the state is collected, and you're seeing a little bit more that the municipality has collected in Anchorage. And the first signs of it starting to trickle in. And when everybody is pretty much starved for funding, I think that there will be some relooks at that. You know, I can, you know, almost see that both Palmer and mostly Palmer, but Wasilla too, might want to stay out of the fray until all the heavy lift of how it's going to happen is worked out. And, you know, if you look at states like Colorado and Washington, they're still trying to figure it out on some levels. A lot of things are still being fought over. So timing is everything. And I think definitely you could say, just by looking at the states, the time has come for the legalization. But for people that want to legalize, it couldn't be a better time in Alaska, because you have this hard, you know, personal rights group of people that, you know, want to stand up for that, that are pretty strong here, as well as, you know, just people that have already sunk a lot of money into it and don't want to be turned back now. And so timing is everything, I think. That's sort of my thoughts on it.
Right, right. And that brings us then to looking ahead a little bit, I think. This morning, we had an opportunity to talk with Sarah Heath, who's the director of the governor's office here in Palmer. Looked a little bit toward October, deeper in the month, when the legislators return to Juneau.
And maybe. Are they definitely going to return to Juneau? There's been some talk of them having it in Anchorage.
The last I heard, and unless you have whispers that have not come to my ears, they're going to hold this in Juneau.
I think the governor said of last, unless Sarah said something earlier, because there had been some noise from some legislators saying, let's hold it in Anchorage. And I think the governor basically at this point has said he doesn't have a stance. The government is in Juneau. I mean, he's got all sure. his staff, a lot of his staff there. I think that's his preference. But I don't know that it's totally been nailed out yet. But that's a good question next week.
Yes, we'll pin that down and see whether we can finalize. I'm sure that's going to be coming out very soon, because they have to get ready and decide whether they're going there or here, or no matter where, the legislators
have to. It takes a lot of air in the room to make it happen.
Right. And they have to come from all over to go one place or the other.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, somebody who goes to Juneau in the wintertime, often in these in-between times, there's a lot of businesses that are taking their own hiatus right now, not really counting on the legislature being around. I mean, hotels, you know, that serve as rooming for those are kind of cleaning up after the tourist season. They shut down rooms as they remodel and refresh. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, and whether it's going to be, you know, 2 or 3 days or it's going to be 30 days. I think the governor wants answers, so we'll see what happens.
Right. And we do have some greater certainty about the governor's proposal for what will be included in this call to a special session.
Right.
The first one being a consideration of some replacement, tweaking, fixing, however you want to phrase it, for SB 91, which was passed not so long ago, that dealt with criminal justice reforms, changes, and some pushback that says, well, we want to fix that up a little more. And that was going to be the major focus. And then the other shoe dropped, which was a 1.5% tax on income earned in the state of Alaska, and it's important to phrase it that way, up to a total tax of $2,200, which many have suggested might get some traction, because it does capture taxes from, or money from, people who are working here but really don't live here and go off when they have their vacation.
Right. And then again, timing, Mike, because, you know, they've rolled out on the national level, the White House has now rolled out what their idea of a tax reform is, and that could have some effects on what the state does too, whether you're allowed to write that off on your federal taxes. There's all kinds of little caveats there that probably may not be settled by the time they go in special session, but it could be. Sometimes things move really fast after they've moved really slow, and certainly is the intent to get some type of tax bill passed at the national level. So all these things kind of work off each other, and they're kind of interesting to watch. But we'll see.
Well, it seems to me, and I've heard this said too, perhaps useful to have the legislature deal with one or both of these questions, so that when they hit January, they will be running, moving. They'll have some momentum, and then they can deal with other issues.
Well, and you know, part of the questions that have surrounded SB 91 has been funding. And whether the effect of it not working is because the law is bad, or the funds to run the programs, aren't there, and that prosecutors have been they've taken a big, huge hit to what the prosecutors. So all of that kind of interplays. When those first two things ended up on the ballot, I wondered a little bit about it, but I can see how they are duly connected. And so we'll see what happens, because it sounds like the intent, definitely for the minority, is to get rid of the law or vastly change it. There's another bill kicking around, SB 54. So we'll see how that changes, or if they just kick. There has been some talk that there's some that have dug in and don't want to do anything about the deficit, and they're going to kick that piece aside. We'll just have to see what happens.
Right. So that's the big thing coming up here in October. And then, of course, during Valley Edition, we'll probably have a little more time here to digest implications, but at least we can throw this out there and say, is there anything that we can take away from the municipal elections that gives us some hint of the direction of the voting next fall, a year from now, when the legislature gets to go before the people and say, elect me?
Yeah, there's a couple of really big things coming up, Mike. You know, City of Anchorage will have their election in April, which will be all mail-in. And there is a lot of people, I know people in some cities and the borough, that are looking to see how that goes. And that could change dramatically the cost of elections and also the turnout of elections. It's been proven in other states, Oregon, Washington, they've done that. Really makes a difference how many people actually vote if they're able to do it for the mail-in ballot. There's also a committee on the state level head up by the lieutenant governor right now studying it on a state level, whether or not the state will go that way or not. Of course, that has to be funded by the legislature. So right. We'll see how that works. And then there's the whole question of redistricting that's going to come. And there's been some interesting cases this week at the Supreme Court about how that gerrymandering really is affecting our elections. And that could be solved, which would be just in time for us to launch into our own next census and redistricting. That's coming up, too. So always things going on.
And we're still awaiting all of those people who are throwing their hats and whatever other things they throw into the ring in order to be involved with primaries and so on to run for next election in 2018. So
calm before the storm.
Yes. That's any last comments?
Nope. That's it, Mike. Wrapped it up for this week, and we'll be back here next week and see everybody at Friday Edition.
All right. Thank you.